This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, September 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Monday morning edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast, coming to you from the patio studios. And as always, we remind you, it's the original place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere. Pre and post game, Patios is the name to remember. Also like to thank our good friend Randy Green, InnovatedCompanies.com. Residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. Randy Green's the name you know and trust. Heating and cooling team, construction team, electric team, ready and fired up, ready to do what you need done. Again, it's an opportunity to meet a tremendous human being who still believes in a handshake and his word. That's Randy Green, InnovatedCompanies.com. 35 years experience, second generation craftsman. Love to have you guys give him an opportunity. Man, I think a lot of people know I do a blues show with Jamie Rivers and Darren Kemble, and obviously it was an amazing season last year, obviously. But the ups and downs, and then the way they came together, and just kind of the absolute intensity of the whole thing. I'm not saying this is exactly like that, but the way the Cardinals sit today almost feels like that a little bit. It's like, you know, you're on this roller coaster ride that really felt consistent over the last 3 years, you know. And then all of a sudden, something clicks, something happens, something changes to make you feel better about your situation. And, you know, one of the things that bothers me as a fan and as a guy that, you know, I'm not one of these guys. I don't research 1,000 different analytics and all this kind of stuff. I know what I see. And I see a team that there's something different about them. I'm not sure what that is 100%. I couldn't tell you. I'm not in the locker room. I'm not on the flights. I'm not out at the team dinners. But there's something different about this team, and it possibly could be as simple as a personnel makeup change and things like that. But there's something different, you know, and it makes me wonder, what exactly is it? And you look at the makeup of the team, and the makeup of the team is definitely looks different today than it did months ago. So I want to talk a little bit about that, because I think that there's some things on here, and I think some of them are, you know, it's not like going to be earth-shattering. Oh, I didn't even think about that. No, I just think that there are things that you can talk about. So I believe that some of these things are important, and to talk about them, especially this time of year, I think it's best to bring in our good friend on the m4byaudi.com hotline, the one, the only, Benji Molina. What's going on, buddy?
What's going on, guys? Pretty exciting time right now, I tell you. Pretty exciting. I still believe we needed a number one starter, Jimbo. But the way these guys are playing, man, they're making us look bad with that prediction, huh?
Well,
I said that the only thing they needed was the starter, you know, the number one. But if they can pitch the way they're doing, I don't think they even need it.
Well, it's interesting you say the number one starter. I think who doesn't want a quote-unquote number one starter, right?
Or number two.
Okay. Yeah, or a number two. But I'll take a whole bunch of number twos. But I guess in the end, you know, you've been around this game a long time, and some people want to say, oh, I don't believe in this or I don't believe in that. But, you know, a lot of guys have a great first year, and they come out in that second year, it's, you know, other teams make an adjustment on them or they don't make an adjustment. And we saw Jack Flaherty earlier on in the year, and it wasn't that he was terrible. It's just that
he looked that we couldn't score.
He looked human, though, too, right? Like, he looked like, you know, instead of being the best pitcher on the planet, he looked human, right? Like, not awful. But, man, what he's doing now is off the charts, like, not human. I mean, this is crazy. And I got to tell you, they needed it, right? They needed him to step up. We talked about some things. But you look at Jack Flaherty and what he's meant to this team. The unsung guy, like the problem for Jack Flaherty, in my opinion, is I think we all like kind of expected it because he was so good last year, right? So you kind of forget that these guys are human, that the game's really hard, that there were bound to be some struggles for him. But I think we all kind of expected him to be great. You know, the unsung guy in all this, in my opinion, is Dakota Hudson.
Yep.
He's been exactly Dakota, what the doctor ordered, you know?
Yeah, and he was also having trouble at the beginning a little bit, and then he picked it up, man. This guy found something, and I could tell you off the air a couple of things but that they found, but I tell you what, Jimbo, nobody has given credit also. I mean, I give them credit to the pitching because they're being amazing. They have been unbelievable, you know, in this run. And I actually do think they need a number one or a number two deal. But if they keep going this way and the way that the Brewers and Cubs are fading, I'll take it. But we are forgetting one real good piece that I don't want people to think that because he's my brother, I'm going to say all this, right? No, I'm being honest as a baseball player. The work that Yadi does behind the plate with these guys, it's truly amazing. And he's not even being recognized as much as he should. He puts these kids into good situations. Like if he sees Rizzo and Flaherty is pitching, he doesn't mind pitching around Rizzo to pitch to Brian. Or, you know what I mean? Like his own way, his own mind, the way he calls the game, it's around the game itself. Like, okay, I can't pitch to this guy here. I know they don't want to walk him, but you know what? I'm going to do it myself. And then he pitched around him. He ended up walking him anyway. And then he gets the next guy out. Things like that, you know? So I think Yadi needs to get a lot of credit together with the pitching, obviously, with the bullpen and Carlos at the end. But he's not getting it. He's not getting the credit. At least he's getting it from me, which I know how baseball is. I know how I played for years, so I guess it's time for us to really concentrate and giving them credit too. You know, I know the pitching has to make the pitch, but Yadi, man, calling the game back there is just like it's been like a genius behind the plate. You know, I understand the pitcher still has to make it, and they're doing it, man. Their pitching are going crazy right now, and I like it. But man, it's about time somebody talks about Yadi behind the plate because it's really remarkable what he's doing, man.
Well, I did see a stat that they put up during the game the other day after the win, that the ERA since Yadi's come back has been ridiculous. It's been amazing.
How about the shutout, man?
Yeah. Is that what it was?
I mean, it's not easy.
Is that what it was? It was something about that. I don't remember the exact stat because I wasn't able to listen to the game. I was somewhere where it was on TV and I wasn't close. But I saw that they had put something up there about what's been going on since he got back, and that's pretty impressive. He's a huge cog in this thing, and you know, we could sit here and talk all day long about things that don't matter today that'll matter in the end, but like Hall of Fame and things like that. I don't know that there's enough credit given for that, but in the end, if you look at this thing, you know, he's been, and not only that, he's been really good offensively too since he came back, which we needed, right? So you add that into the whole thing, and then you know, like I said, I think there's multiple things at play here. I think Yadi coming back and being healthy is obviously a big part of it. You know, obviously having him behind the plate, if there was adjustments to be made by Jack Flaherty as the league made an adjustment to him, it's pretty evident that he's made them, I would say. Dakota Hudson, we've talked a lot about this, and this has been the one thing that I want to talk to you about, because I think that we can talk about some of the things that have happened on the field for sure, because that's where it is. But the reality of it is this. If you want to point to something when they made some tough decisions, the reality of it is Tommy Edman becoming basically the starter and Carpenter going to the bench has played a big role in this, in my opinion. And I don't know.
I think it's huge.
Yeah. I mean,
I think it was huge to sit down Carpenter in this. I know he's last couple games, he's been okay. You know, he's been hitting the ball better, but, and it was bound to happen. Gosh, man. I mean, he's been awful all year, right? Like swinging the bat. So at some point he has to catch fire, you know, and I hope it's this last week. I hope so. I hope he picks up fire. But I really do believe that Edmund should be playing every day, without a doubt. And they're doing it. They're putting Edmund out there. They're giving the start. And they're putting the right guys out there. Yesterday, when they beat up on the Pittsburgh, Fowler didn't play. Fowler's been doing great, right? I mean, Fowler's been getting on base and doing his thing, too. So what happened in April, Jimbo, was that Wong, Bader, and Fowler were hitting. I don't know if you remember that.
Yes.
I mean, obviously, everybody had their own streaks, right? Their own times where they were hot. But
Fowler was off the charts in April. He hit like 343, and he hit 343, and his on base percentage was 425 in April. I mean, that was insane.
What I mean?
Yeah, insane.
So Bader was amazing in April and Wong too. So that's what we're seeing kind of here right now. Bader going off, Wong still going off, Fowler still going off, and that's what's making a difference. Since they put the best on-base percentage in one and two, the record has to be so high. Man. Think about it. Since they put those guys on-base percentage up in the lineup, they've been getting on-base, man. They're people getting – it's becoming fun for them, you know?
Well,
it's becoming like a fun deal for them.
Well,
that's what we need it to do. We need it to feel fun.
Well, the Cardinals went on this tear in August, right, where they kind of – they lulled a little bit, and then all of a sudden they jetted back out in front. Now they've been kind of holding it. And I'm glad you brought up Colton Wong, because that's where I was going to go. Colton Wong had, I mean, I would say, if you look at it, he had an awful May, okay? Had a weird April. His batting average was awful in April, but his on-base percentage was good. Obviously, we all know that he had that little stretch in March. But the amazing thing for me about Colton Wong is, yes, his August was amazing. I mean, simply amazing. He hit 373 in August with a 460 OBP, which we all know this thing started for him in July. He hit 357 with a 432 on base in July. And here's the thing, to your point, and this is what I was going to say. If you look at this thing, they went with the on base percentage thing, and they started getting runners on for the guys that drive in the runs. And while I think we would all agree that Goldschmidt, some of his, like, we all thought he would hit for a higher average, okay? But the bottom line is, whether it's Goldschmidt or Ozuna or Yachty or whoever it is, guys are getting on base in front of these guys, and somebody's coming through and driving in runs. I mean, that's at the end of the day how you win games. That's how you win.
Yeah, it becomes, you know, Jimbo, one of my best years in minor league was hitting fifth in front of all the fastest guys that we had in the organization, and it was A-ball. Well, guess what? In 2 months, I almost beat up my record for RBI in 2 months. So when you put guys on base, it doesn't mean you're going to get them in every single time. What it means is you're going to have opportunities every day. And what that means overall, that by the end, by July, by August, by September, man, all those opportunities give you more experience, more experience, more experience. By the time you get to August and September, you're not afraid of facing those things. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
You're not afraid because you have so many repetitions on hitting with men on or having guys on. You know what to do. You see what I'm saying? So with these guys are enjoying it right now. I tell you, when I had my best guys running in front of me, Jimbo, shoot, man, I had my best years. My best years were with those guys in front. And this is what these guys are doing right now, man. They see guys on base and they're like hungry. Like, no, heck no, I got to get this guy in or something like that, you know?
Well, ideally in a perfect world, the way the whole thing has been set up is what I want to talk about from a lineup standpoint. And I'm going to look at like one of the games and talk about how I think it's a big part of it. Because, you know, moving those guys up in the lineup and then the addition of Tommy Edman, in my opinion, has done a couple of different things for this club. So I want to talk about it. Before I do, I want to remind everybody to check us out at twobirdsonabat.com. Please subscribe to the show there. Also, you can check out our Two Birds bloggers. We appreciate all the work that they do and helping you learn more both about the Cardinals and our show. So again, takes about 30 seconds for you to subscribe, and we would appreciate it if you would do so. Find us on our social media outlets at Birds on a Bat Show on Twitter. If you follow us there and a Cardinal fan, we'll follow you back. Hit us up on Facebook. Type in Two Birds and a Bat. Like our page. Please click invite your friends as well. When we do the show here, you'll see the show pop up on the pinned post. If you'd like it, comment on it and share it. We would greatly appreciate it. That helps us just reach more people and bring more people into our community. Two Birds and a Bat Show on Instagram as well, and of course as part of lineupmediagroup.fm, home of Yo Radio, the streaming platform that you need to download for free on your mobile device. Do it today. You guys will enjoy it, I promise you. To all of our partners, we appreciate everything you guys have done for us. Our good friend Mike at Adam Smokehouse, best barbecue in St. Louis, folks, and that's not just us telling you that. We've never sent anybody over there that didn't rave about it. We know there's great barbecue in St. Louis, and we hope you try it all out, but we definitely want to encourage you to try out Adam Smokehouse, located on Watson Road and open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. They do the box lunch orders if you have office settings or want to just get some type of meeting or something taken care of. Catering, if you have an event that needs catering, give them an opportunity. I know all the people that would be attending your event would love it for sure. But we do want to encourage you to give them a try. Head on over to Watson Road. Again, great people, great atmosphere. The service is second to none. And, of course, Mike is a tremendous guy. But when it comes right down to it, in our opinion, it's the best barbecue in St. Louis. St. Louis, that's Adam Smokehouse. Here's your cue. To our good friend, Dr. Kristen Jacobs, check her out, drkristenjacobs.com. Want to thank her for her support of our show, and we want to support her in what she's doing, making a difference in so many people's lives. She wants to remind you that every day is Skin Cancer Awareness Day, but we appreciated her coming on and reminding us, especially at the beginning of the season, we were all going to be heading to games to make sure we take care of our skin. She does a ton of wonderful things for people at Ooh La La Spa Anti-Aging and Wellness Center. Look her up if there's something that you want to talk to her about or something that you've been thinking about. I would highly encourage you to do so, but her number one goal is to always remind you to take care of yourself. To our friends at the Gators Baseball Academy, we appreciate everything about the guys and what they do for us here and helping support our show and spread the word about us, and we want to do so about them. We feel they're a great baseball program, great people that are helping kids try to achieve their dreams. For the younger kids, they're just trying to provide them with a great atmosphere to play baseball in, learn the game, enjoy the game, fall in love with the game. But their four-pillar system is second to none, and if you're looking for something for your son, I encourage you to check out GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. They're expanding into the softball world as well, so if you want to look into that, make sure you guys check it out. That's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. All right, got to ask you a question, Benji. I was looking at the lineup, and one of the things that I've noticed is at the beginning of this whole thing, for a while, they were experimenting with Tommy Edman up in the order, and Tommy's hit well, but his on-base percentage hasn't really been there. But if you look at the lineup, the way it's constructed, I'm not quite sure you could find, like, when you're rolling really well, you start talking about holes in your lineup. Well, I mean, if you look at the whole thing right now, it's pretty nice because, you know, the Colton Wong thing, especially when he was hitting well and he was in the bottom of the lineup, you always look at the bottom of your lineup. And, you know, if Harrison Bader and Colton Wong had a nice game and then the guys did their job, you know, you always looked at what a luxury that was. Well, now with Dexter Fowler and Colton Wong at the top and getting on base, like you mentioned, at a high clip, the fact that you have Bader, who seems to be much better now that he's back from Memphis, seems like he has a fresher approach at the plate. But the reality of it is having Tommy Edman down there with his base running ability and the fact that, let's face it, man, he's just gotten some big hits for us, has really balanced the lineup. And when you have a balanced lineup and the guys in the middle of the lineup get to do what it is they do, and that is driving runs, I mean, that just seems to me to be a recipe for success. But I just think that some of these things kind of go unnoticed. And Harrison Bader, you know, let's face it, we talked about Carpenter, we talked about Bader. I don't know that they could be much worse, kind of like Fowler last year. I don't know that it gets any worse, right? So good for them, but it's really balanced the lineup.
I think so. I think if we look back and see when they put that, the one and two, the best percentage out there, Jimbo, I mean, that was great for them. You know what I mean? Like, that was what they were looking for, some man on base. So these guys can drive them in. That's exactly what they were looking for. And they found them. Tommy Edman has been great, Jimbo. What he's been asked to do in this team is not easy at all. But if you think about it, the way he's going at it, man, it's amazing. This kid is really, truly talented. Remember, this is his first year up here. You know, I mean, he's been showing everybody that, hey, man, I belong in this league. I don't care what you say. I don't care whatever. I belong in this league. And he's showing us that he belongs. He actually winning a job over a veteran. Just think about that for a second. He's winning the job over a veteran who was supposed to be on the top because he's $18 million, you know. We're not talking about even $1 million. We're talking about $18 million for a guy. So he's taking over that kind of production that that guy's doing or that guy was supposed to do. So Tommy Edman, for me, man, he's been a key for the Cardinals' success. But I really do believe the whole team, Jimbo, the whole team has stepped up. And just like you mentioned earlier, Fowler, Wong, Bader, when Bader was doing his thing, the team just flew, man, just flew with him, the whole team. So I really do believe that we got to give credit to the whole team for just sticking together and fighting this out together, man, because all of them have looked good, and they are making themselves better every single time they go out there, man. It's amazing to watch right now.
You and I were talking off air about some of the thoughts about the Cardinals right now and some of the things that we see on social media. And one of the things that really bugs you are the fans that want to dismiss this because the Cardinals are, quote unquote, beating up on terrible teams. And I don't think people realize just how good offensively a couple of these teams are that the Cardinals are beating. I think it would surprise people to know that Pittsburgh has the fifth-ranked offense in the league. I think that would surprise people, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Colorado, who we're getting ready to go face, which, let's face it, anytime you go to Colorado, all bets are off. All bets are off when you go to Colorado. It's almost like playing inside Milwaukee, or it's like you want to kind of escape there with your life almost. You know, it's just such a hard place to play.
And your team is going, you know, and Colorado over there in Colorado are really good team, Jimbo. They are a really good team. They play well in Colorado. They don't back down from you, bro. They're a really good team. I don't care what position they are, Jimbo. I really don't care, because they can put up 8 runs in a hurry. And then what? Oh, we lost. Because this is what I hate, Jimbo. Everybody's like, oh, because it's Colorado, we won. So what do you want us to do? What do you want the team to do? To lose against them so you can criticize them too? You see what I'm saying? Like seriously, dude, we beat Colorado. That's what we need to do. That's exactly what we need to do, beat Colorado. And that's exactly what we need to do, beat on Milwaukee. Or, you know, people are always finding ways to criticize, and I don't like that. I really don't. If they really think that it's bad to beat up on Colorado because they have a bad record, you know, like, oh, yeah, I don't trust them because, oh, they're beating teams that are not good. So what the heck do you want? When we beat the bad teams, you know, when we beat those teams, you get mad and you say that we are supposed to win them. But when we lose, you criticize us for losing. So which one is it? So I always get all fired up about it, you know, because of that. Because I don't think it should be that way. I think this is your team. And you should just go at it with your team, and that's it, you know?
Yeah, it's a – you listen, you got to win games.
Well, let me tell you this one. When the Cubs went on to win the World Series, the Cubs, let's not say the Cardinals anymore, because people say, oh, yeah, but your show is the Cardinal, whatever. But the Cubs, when they win the World Series that year, they had an unbelievable record against the bad team, Jimbo. Unbelievable record against the bad team. So you think they would have won the World Series if they hadn't had that good record against the team? No, there was no chance they could have won. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So why I don't hear anybody say, oh, the Cubs won because they had a good record. You know what I mean? I don't hear anybody saying that. So that's why I really don't like it. I really do hate it when people just criticize when we win against a bad team and when we lose against a bad team. It's never okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, at the end of the day, you play 162 games, right? And in your division, you're all playing the same teams. So that's the other thing. Like, if the Cubs and the Brewers are supposed to be better than us, then at the end of the day, why are we in front of them if they're supposed to be better than us? Because if we've beat up, as some people want to say, on Little Sisters of the Poor, if we've beat up on them, well, then why didn't they beat up on them?
Uh-huh. And why aren't they in first place and we are? I don't know, man. I don't like when people go that way. I really do believe that they're not the people to discuss this with, you know?
Well, you can't win for losing with them, because the way it is it's pretty simple. They live in this world. If you don't beat them, then they get criticized for not beating them. But when you do beat them, it's like, oh, they're just beat. You can't have it both ways. It's like,
you can't have it. It's a waste of time.
Listen, in the end, the way this whole thing is going to shake out is, you know, if the Cubs want a piece of us, they're going to get a piece of us, because we got to play them a bunch. You know, we're going to find out, right? Like,
and the next thing is going to be, oh, you beat the Cubs because they have people hurt. I can see that coming.
Yeah, because we haven't had anybody hurt ever.
Yeah, we don't have anybody, but they do. And that's the only reason why the Cardinals are going to beat the Cubs, because they're hurting right now. They don't have many people available. So that's why the Cardinals are being up, or you know what I mean? They're always going to be something. So that's why it makes it sweeter. It makes it really, really sweeter to be in first place right now.
I would like to see us. My big thing is, a big part of the playoffs for me always is going into the playoffs playing well. I like the way we're playing right now. I like the way things are trending. Some of the young guys that have come up have really given us a spark. Is there one thing that you'd like to see, like, as a player, like, when you roll into the – so here we go. We're in September, right? This is the quote-unquote home stretch. You know, a manager has to keep his roster fresh. He's got to get guys healthy if they're hurting, but yet he's got to keep them going. There's a certain amount of push and a certain amount of help that he's trying to give these guys. How do you find that balance? And is that one of the hardest things there is? Because let's face it, like, take your brother, for example. He don't want to come out of a game. He don't ever want to sit. I promise you, none of them guys right now want to sit. But is there a place in time that he's going to have to make sure these guys are ready for the playoffs? Or as a player, is it like, look, I don't want any rest. I want to play every day. That's how I get good. I want to play every day, and I want to roll into the playoffs. What does that look like for you as a player?
Well, as a player, you want to play, like you said, but it's up to the manager. It's up to the pitching coach to pick a spot to give him some rest, obviously. But some of those guys, they don't want to come out. I mean, I would love to have 25 guys in my roster that doesn't want to take days off, because that's what makes the team better. Playing every day. Look at Goldsmith. I think Goldsmith had like 2 days off the whole year. I mean, Ozuna, when before he got hurt, he lost a month or so, or a month and a half, or a month or so. And now you think he's going to want a day off? Heck no, buddy. These guys are going to want to play. Look at DeJong. I think DeJong has like 2 or 3 days off. That's it. All year. You know what I mean? So I don't, this is not the time to have days off. This is not the time. You work your butt off in the off season. Yadi had like a month off already, so he's not tired. Ozuna, he was hurt. He's not tired. Bader has been up and down the, you know, like in the minors or in the bench. The ones that can tell you maybe a little tired might be DeJong, maybe Wong, Goldsmith, Edman, but Edman's too young to be tired. So I don't see anybody there wanting a day off, man. I really don't, and I hope they don't, because they're playing they're getting into a groove right now that a day off could be costly. And I'm not talking about a normal day off. I'm talking about a day off where there's a game. Like today, they have a day off, but I'm talking about today. You know, like a game, and somebody's off. So I hope they don't want to get off. This is goal time right now, and they have an opportunity to keep building on this lead and keep building on this team that's always giving you crap for the last few years. I don't see anybody getting a day off.
I would say, like, for me, as I look at the way that it plays out, right, I think it's a tough job for a manager, because he's got to try to manage these guys and do all that. But I think he's done a good job of it. You know, it's hard to argue the way things have went, right? Like, if you could find anything to nitpick, but like, you know, and it just got me thinking, because it's not a complaint, but like, I'm watching that game yesterday, and let's face it, Flaherty was brilliant, right? But I'm sitting there watching him pitch that last inning, and he's at 100 and something pitches, and all I've heard about for the last 2 weeks is Flaherty's going to run up against some innings here before long. Like, they got to start looking for opportunities to save some innings on this guy, right? Like, never pitched this much, never. You know, what do? I mean, you've had teams in the past yank guys out of the lineup at this time of the year because this is their first full year in the big league. So I'm sitting there last night wondering, you know, was it necessary for him to pitch that eighth inning? I guess, well, listen, it's always necessary, I guess, to some degree. But do we not you know, like, are we struggling a little bit? Now, I know we've had some hiccups in the bullpen lately, a couple guys, but you know,
but they also earned the right to have a hiccup. You know what I mean? That's the way I see it. I think the bullpen has been awesome all year. They've been taking a lot of pressure off the starters. So I really do believe that if they have a couple of hiccups here and then, I'm still good with them. You know what I mean? So let them have the hiccups, and then all of a sudden they come back up strong again, you know?
Yeah, and believe me, see, my thing on it is this. Like, you look at Friday night's game, okay? Take Friday night's game, for example. Here's the deal, man. That stuff happens. It happens to every team, okay? Guys go out, and they don't have it that night, and, you know, it just happens. You know, bullpens blow games.
Yeah, but if they don't have it, it's an opportunity, like you just mentioned, Fields. Mike Fields is an opportunity to have him, look at him and say, hey, man, he doesn't have it. It's early. Let's get him out. Let's have a bullpen going, because we have enough bullpen right now. You know what I'm saying? So it's an opportunity for Mike Fields to do that.
Yeah, it seemed like whoever he brought in that night, though, didn't have it. So it was a rough one.
Well, but you're going to have those
things. Yeah. And I'm willing to accept that. It happens. You know, it happens. So
yeah, you will have them. Believe me, you will have that those days that you don't have it. You just don't want it too often. That's all.
And then the last thing I want to talk about here, because it's been, let's face it, for a while now, and we all were excited about Jordan Hicks, right? But, you know, it's still, you know, if he had an issue, we would write it off as a young guy, right, that went straight from single A to the big leagues. But over the years, you know, finishing out games has been an issue. It just has. You can choose to ignore it, or you can understand it. But the bottom line is, for the last, you know, since he's gotten comfortable, I'll say, Carlos Martinez has been awesome. And what I'm going to say is, and the reason I wanted to bring this full circle is, and you talked about the impact that Yadi's had on the team. If you've watched Carlos Martinez pitch in St. Louis for a while, and then you've watched him pitch in the bullpen, you would have to be crazy not to notice that they made it, like, when Yadi came back, they decided they were going to do this a little bit different with Carlos. He's not trying to, he's not blowing hitters away. He's not throwing 98, 99 every pitch. They're using the pitch, that devastating off-speed pitch of his, while reminding people when they have to, hey, he's got 98 in the tank too, by the way, right? I mean, it's been nothing short of amazing the way they've decided to use Carlos Martinez. I mean, he's making really good hitters look bad with that off-speed pitch. You can tell it's a total change in approach.
Well, let me tell you what I think from that angle, from that point of view that you just mentioned on Carlo. Carlo has been great, you know, and he's picked up the thing. He wants the challenge, right? He wants that. He wants to be the guy. He wants to be that challenge guy. He really do want to be the guy. So that's the first thing that he ever did, is taking up on the challenge, saying yes, buying in. That's why the first thing he did. Second thing he's done is just guide. Let Yadi guide him behind the plate. Talk it over, talk some things. And the third thing that he has done, Jimbo, he stopped trying to strike people out. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He stopped trying. He's not a strikeout guy. I mean, he could be when he was a starter. I get it. But Jimbo, he stopped doing that. You know what I mean? So now he's a contact guy. He's a guy who wants to be getting people out instead of blowing people away. That's a big difference. When you have guys in the big leagues that wants to strike out everybody, show up that you have a 990, 99, or 100 mile an hour fastball, you're going to run into trouble, man, because you forget the only purpose, and the only purpose is to get that guy out. It doesn't matter how, Jimbo. And he has done it. I had a conversation with Carlos, and I told him the same thing. I said, hey, listen, Carlos, forget about striking people out. Try to think about three pitches and get the guy out. Or two pitches and get the guy out. Or a good changeup and get the guy out. You see what I'm saying? Those are the conversations that we had with him. Those are the conversations that I had with him. It was like, man, just get the people out. Forget about that strikeouts and stuff. It's going to make you throw 30 pitches in one inning. And we need you for tomorrow. So he understands that. We see that a lot. He has a great thinker that's like 90, 99 miles an hour thinker, 96. But he still have it. and he's doing it, man. I'm telling you, he's doing a great job.
Well, the thing that's interesting to me is, what I'm wondering is, I mean, we all know he wants to be a starter. Nobody really wants to pitch in the bullpen. They all want to be starters, right? Until they're told, look, this is your only path in the big league. But the reality of it is this, I wonder for his maturation as a player, and you talk about this, and he's still relatively a young guy. It's not like he's, you know, an old guy. He's getting strikeouts, though, with the off-speed pitch. And you wonder for a guy that has 99 in the tank, and like you said, a 96, 98-mile-an-hour sinker, if all of a sudden he's learning, holy cow, I don't need to throw at 99 to strike him out. You know, that sets him up for this pitch. So you just wonder if it's that time for him. And we've talked about Carlos Martinez at nauseam and where he's at in the game mentally. And then people get upset and say, oh, listen, this is what we're talking about. It isn't like the off the field stuff is off the field stuff. It is what it is, right? Like you can't make somebody who they aren't. I mean, I'm talking about within the game of baseball and understanding how it works. And I think we're seeing it right now, to be quite honest with you, because it blows me away to watch a guy, and I think we all think this way in baseball. When a guy throws 100, then you sit there and go, throw it 100. But then how many times have we seen guys that throw 100 and it gets knocked around and you're sitting there going, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Well, this is why. And now what's happening is these guys are sitting in the box and he's got this devastating off-speed pitch. But make no mistake about it, you've been in that batter's box. In the back of their mind, they're sitting there going, well, I can't just sit back because he's got 99. So how do you approach it? So he's become really devastating out there, and it's been great to see.
Yeah, he's become a pitcher. Think about it. He's become a pitcher. When you become a pitcher, you get people out, Jimbo. You don't worry about anything else but getting people out, man, and that's just the key. I told him, I said, hey, man, listen, just go out there and get three outs. How about that? How about just getting out there and making sure you get the three outs? And then we get inside, we go and have fun inside. We won the game. You just got three outs, and let's go. Instead of trying to strike out people and let them, you know what I mean? Like, you can't do that. You can't think of getting people. I don't know how else to explain it. You can't do that. It's really hard to think about those things when you're facing the best hitters in the right spot right there to win the game and try to strike them out. I think it's really, really rough. I think it's a lot of thinking. I think you waste a lot of pitches doing that. So for him to get three people out instead of striking people, it's going to be his key.
Yeah, I got to tell you too. He pitched, you know, that little sequence he went through last week where he pitched so much in a row. That's impressive. I mean, I don't think people realize how impressive that is. It's not the easiest thing in the world to do, is go out there and pitch 4 days in a row like that. I mean, it's just, that's not an easy thing.
He's buying in. That's all I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? He's buying this thing. He really is. He's buying in. He wants to do it, Jimbo, and that is really, really cool to find a guy that wants to do it, you know? So for me, if you ask me, man, I really do believe that his key right now is to try to get people out instead of just trying to strike out people, because it's just going to make you waste a lot of pitches, you know?
Yeah, this has been an amazing thing for me to watch the Cardinals, and you know it's going to take. Listen, the reality of it is, as well as the Cardinals have played, you know, you can't sit here and ignore the fact that yes, the Cardinals sit atop their division, but man, there's some monster teams sitting there that have been playing well all year long, and the Dodgers are really good. Let's face it, the Dodgers are a really good baseball team.
We're not going to have it easy. That's for sure.
And it's going to take, but here's the deal. You know, the Cardinals have kind of, you know, they haven't been a start-to-finish team this year. You know, it started off a little rough for them, right? And then they kind of competed and did their thing. And now here we find ourselves. I'm one of these teams, man, I want to play well towards the end. You know what I mean? Like, I want us to be firing on all cylinders, and that's what I want us to be. And, you know, I'm sure the Braves think the same way. They're 9-1 over their last 10. Is anybody talking about the teams that they've beat, you know? Like, do we monitor who's beating who and when they're beating them? Listen, man, in the end, if the Cardinals can go 7-3 in a 10-game stretch, you know, that's playing 70%. That's a 70% clip, man. That's really good baseball. That's really good baseball, considering that the Dodgers are the best team, you know, at 93 wins. You know, the Yankees 94 win, whatever. I mean, that's a 65% clip, you know, in winning percentage. So, listen, going 7-3 in 10 games is really good. And Houston Astros go 7-3, and everybody thinks they're the greatest team on earth, and the other teams do. Well, we just did it too. I don't care who we play. Nobody monitors who else, who everybody. Everybody plays everybody. And in the end, you gotta win your games. That's it. Got to get in.
That's it, man.
I mean,
that's all you have to do.
Listen, I don't care who we play right now. Are you telling me right now you don't feel good about Jack Flaherty taking the ball? I do.
Oh, yeah.
I feel pretty good. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, you should, because they're doing a good job, man. I really do believe it. I think I really do believe they're going to be fine, man. I really do believe they're doing the right thing right now. They're picking it up. They're doing it. And I really do believe that they're going to be fine. But they need to keep playing ball the same way they've been playing, right? I mean, that's what we hope so.
Well, they're getting a lot of contributions from different people. Yeah, they're getting them from people too that some fans don't want to acknowledge. Like, nobody wants to admit that for the most part, Adam Wainwright's been pretty darn good. Yeah, he's had a couple games here and there, and we all know he's better at home.
But talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's been like, listen, everybody, me included at times, thought it was crazy to bring him back. Okay, but I'm sorry, folks. I mean, he's been a big part of why we're where we are. And you can admit that, or you can say, but it's the truth.
No, he's been a huge part of where we are, man. A huge, huge part. Every time I see this man taking the ball, man, he's been really, really good, you know? Really, really good. We need to give him credit. Now, another thing we should mention, Jimbo, on the show, is that We just lost one of the great Cardinals.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that here towards the end. I wanted to, just to save that for you to be able to, you know, obviously, you know, he was a teammate, you know, of your brother, and I know that you know him. It's been great to hear some amazing stories from people that had played with him and people that associated with him, because we all know that Chris Duncan had also made a name for himself on St. Louis Sports Radio. He was a great guy to have around. We, you know, obviously, you know, it was Dave's son, and you knew Tony and Dave. So, you know, I didn't know the man, but, you know, he was a Cardinal. And just like every Cardinal, whether at times he struggled or times when he was, like, Tony La Russa is always quick to remind everybody of his contributions to the team and the fact that some of the great things that happened for the St. Louis Cardinals don't happen without Chris Duncan. And you can talk about what he couldn't do all you want, but the reality of it is there was a stretch of time during a season that they did something amazing where he carried them.
And not only that, even if he didn't contribute to anything, right? Even if he wasn't a key part of any team, he was still wearing your Cardinal uniform. He was still representing the Cardinal, and plus, his dad was, and then not only that, he stayed in St. Louis in the radio for the community. He went out there and talked to kids. He went out there and did his thing. So it's not only because he wore the Cardinal uniform or contribute. I'm sorry, it's not only because he contributed. It's also because he wore their uniform, man.
No, I
special
agree.
Guy. Very special guy. Very special. It was really sad when I saw the news, and it was the same type of cancer, brain tumor that got his mom too, man. I mean,
yeah,
this is devastating news for real.
Yeah, you know, for me, to be honest with you, like I knew that he had done some really good things at different times, and I was curious kind of how that looked, because let's face it, I mean, for a guy, you know, he's in the big leagues for just a few years, but you know, he got to do it, you know, with his dad around and things like that, and in a town that he could call home here like this. But the reality of it is Tony La Russa is always really quick to remind people what he did to help that team. But you know what's amazing about that is everybody, you know, like I said, Tony's got to remind people that without what he did, they may not even get in the playoffs. The truth of the matter is, when you go back and look at it, he had a really good season. A really good season in 2006. I mean, that's a good baseball season on paper. 293, 363 OBP with 22 home runs. Come on, man. And listen, we all got on him because he wasn't a great outfielder. I don't think he asked for that, right?
He just went out
and did what they asked him to do. And listen, you're right. Great guy. And I think just It is sad. And I, like I said, I knew you knew him and had, you know, that was, you know, Yachty's first championship. And I know you were around and even.
No, he's a good dude. And we're very sad for it. You know, I'm going through a hard time right now, Jimbo, here myself and personal, but we still alive, right? I mean,
right.
We go through hard times and so you look back and you look around and you're like, wow, and I'm still breathing. And you know, I have a chance to make things better and things like that. So these guys that go through cancer, tumor, brain cancer, whatever type of cancer it is, and other illness, they don't have that chance, man. They don't have that opportunity to say, you know what, I have more years in front of me to do this. I have these, I have that. You know, they don't have that. We do, and we got to be thankful. I'm sorry for the Duncan family. I'm sure it's been horrible for them losing mom, losing a son now. I mean, it's just been horrible. But I just wanted to mention that, you know?
Yeah, it's been, I got to tell you, you hate that it has to happen, but it has been awesome to listen to some of the people that were a part of his life talk about some of the stories. And I like most people, was a fan. I mean, of him on the radio. I thought he was awesome. It was, and again, I won't tell anybody what you have to like, but I love a guy that doesn't take himself too seriously. You know what I mean? And you know, he loved to get on himself, and he'd talk about missing fly balls, and he'd talk about what he couldn't do, and never talked about what it was he did do. And I just think it's amazing that you have guys out there reminding people, like, and I don't know that you really have to, but it is nice for Tony La Russa and all these other guys to remind everybody how important he was in 2006. And
yeah,
it's awesome. It's just awesome. Just a testament.
Yeah, it's true, and we'll take that and, you know, and think about all the things that could have happened or did. And he was a nice guy, man. He was an awesome guy without the cancer or with it. So I just hope that his family gets some strength somehow and keep going forward, because it's not easy, man. Not easy losing somebody so young. And I mean, it's not easy losing anybody at any time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't, like I said, I, unfortunately, yeah, we all go through it at some time or another, right? And that's right. And how it affects everybody differently, and it affects, but when it's your community like this, and it's something, you know, that there's memories involved, you know, you want to reflect on those things. And it is, you know, it's sad, of course, that he's not with us any longer. And, but a guy like that would just, you know, there's a smile on his face somewhere, and you know, he always was able to look back and think about his contributions, whether he boasted about them or not, which he did not do. But the reality of it was, that's just one of the things that I love most about this whole thing, is that, you know, call it a fraternity, call it what you want, but there are certain people out there that make it their business to remind people how good certain people were at certain things, especially when, I'm not going to say he got a bad rap, because I think the town really enjoyed him, but as a player, people would get on him a little bit, right? Like, you know, he struck out. He was that guy, right? He'd make some errors and didn't look comfortable in the outfield. So people at the time as a player might say some things, but guys like Tony La Russa, guys that played with him, were always quick to remind people how important he was in something that was special in our town. And you embrace those people and you take them in and you make them their own. And then, like I said, you take a guy like that who not only was a big part of something that was amazing in our city, then he went and endeared himself to Cardinal fans everywhere on the radio and just was awesome at it.
But think about this too, like Colton Wong in that series where he got picked up. And everybody went on to him and everybody said how bad he was. Everybody said how stupid, how this, how could you do that? Da da da. They insulted him everywhere. But not one guy outside that team knew that he just lost his mom to cancer, and that he obviously wasn't trying to get picked up in that situation. It just happened. But nobody knew what he was going through in life. You know what I mean? Everybody saw him getting picked up. Oh yeah, you got picked up in first base, but he just lost his mom to cancer. That was what the real deal here is. He just lost his mom, and he's playing a game that he loved with his mom in the sky. And then, I mean, it just breaks my heart every time I think about Colton Wong getting picked up and everybody criticizing him. When was the real thing was he was laying down in that first base, or he was sitting down in that dugout with the double broken heart. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which you guys, us, you know, like all of us, a lot of people were criticizing. A lot of people were calling him names and things like that just because he got picked up. And here he is in his own home, probably crying because still he lost his mom, and probably crying because he got picked up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that's what real life is, man. That's what real life is, and people need to understand. These guys are real life people. These guys have their problems. These guys have their daughters, like Shane Robinson going through his daughter going through cancer or things like that, you know, or sickness. You know, I don't know if it was cancer, but his daughter was gone. Everybody have their own problems. So, you know, understand them. And I know St. Louis fans, they're more understanding than most of them, if not all of them in baseball. Believe me, I've been through all of the stadiums. And St. Louis is more of a, you know, like they understand more of the game. You know, they understand what's going on. Others like Philly or Yankees, or they don't care about your life. They don't care about if you lose your dad or mom or nothing. They're just going to give you a hassle the whole game. You see what I'm saying? So to people, just open up your minds to these guys, because they're battling out there every single day for the city of St. Louis, but also they're battling out there for themselves in real life.
Yeah, like I said, just living and seeing it, and one of the greatest things to me, like I said, one of my favorite things was always to see somebody come full circle, and the way he was taken in with the community, and the way he endeared himself to fans on the radio. On the flip side, you have certain people that do not endear themselves to fans, and one of them is in the studio now, and you know that he's only in here to gloat a little bit today, and Flowers comes in for the last 2 minutes of the show as he probably wants to talk about the Dallas Cowboys, which I have to remember, has to remind him this is not a Cowboy show.
Well, hopefully everybody can hear
me
here.
Hey, Bebo.
What's up, Bebo?
What's going on, man? You didn't show up last year and they lost that playoff, and now you show up because they beat the sorry butt Giants.
Well, a couple of things. First and foremost.
Typical Dallas Cowboys.
I've been here the whole time, BMO. They just had free pizza in the back room, so I've been eating. So I've been here for like an hour eating, and now Jimbo says, oh, you can finally talk. You don't have your mouth full of pepperoni pizza.
Oh, geez.
Stuffed crust, by the way.
Yeah.
So my Dunkin' thing is the fact that just shows, which is why we locked onto a Benji Molina, is because we wanted that insight. What Chris Dunkin' did is not only give the insight, but he had a flair of giving it. And you could tell he was truly excited about talking about sports, particularly baseball. But he gave it a flair that basically endeared himself to the St. Louis community or anybody that would listen to him. He was remarkable. And I was one of those guys that criticized his play. But I think when you're a major leaguer and your brother's a major leaguer and your dad's a major leaguer, I think you have the confidence to know that you've done something that 99.9% of the people in the world can't do, and he made it. And I think
he
had that confidence that he could make fun of himself, knowing that he had already made it to the top, won a world championship. He didn't have that sort of pressure, didn't make it seem like it. But when he got on the radio, he was special. I love listening to him. I'm going to miss him, and definitely thoughts and prayers to the entire Dunkin' family. So
sad, man.
Very sad. But, BMO,
yeah,
just to let
sad.
You know, those Cowboys looked pretty darn good yesterday.
Well, I think I really – let me tell you this, BMO, before you go too high, okay? They look good. There's no doubt. You still got to play, like we were saying. You still got to beat up on the sorry bus teams, right? So they did look good. But let's not jump the wagon yet, buddy. Let's wait until they face some better teams, and then you can get on me a little bit more, okay?
That's not what being a fan is about. I went on last night. It was 5:45 Central Standard Time. Okay, the Cowboys were beating that ass, and I got on right away and started looking at tickets to Miami, plane tickets, because we're going there for the Super Bowl. Now, Benji, don't understand why you drafted four Cowboys players in your fantasy football team. I don't understand that if you don't like them so much.
I don't have any Cowboys on my team. That'll get me a virus on my phone.
You're going to go pick up Randall Cobb right away. I can see it right now.
No chance. Hey, He's a traitor now. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. If I get one Cowboy in my fantasy team, it'll give me a virus on my whole phone. So there's no chance, buddy.
Did you guys
look good? I mean, I can give it to you. You look good. I just want to see you guys play like the Eagles or somebody that's a little bit more competition than what you had. That's all.
Well, I know you guys squeaked one out on Thursday. Boring football there.
Why would they ever
put an NFC North game on the kickoff of football? I have no idea. I mean, it was boring.
Hey, let me tell you this. It was really boring for myself, too. But the Chicago Bears are a good team, right? I mean, we all agree on that or no?
We can agree, yes.
Really, they're a legit team on it. I mean, they're really good. And it was a battle. It was boring. But at least we came out with the W, which it was. A boring team with a W, I take it any day, right?
Yep. Well, the good news is I'm going to go see the Cowboys play the Packers on October 6th. The better news is Benji Molina and Yadier Molina will not be joining me because they'll be in the midst of a playoff run, probably another world championship.
That's the best thing. Go enjoy it. Go enjoy your tailgate because that's the most exciting thing you're going to have, the tailgate.
I think they got some pretty good nachos down there, too. I'll enjoy those.
Hey, there you go. And then you have the big screen TV on your big stadium living room. So you'll enjoy that, too.
For sure.
Well, guys.
I wish I could go.
Well, I'm sure you're going to be doing something a little bit more fun than that. How'd you fare this week in your fantasy ventures there, Jimbo?
Well, I beat the snot out of somebody, didn't I?
Wow, Jimbo. He's going off, man.
Going off. How'd you do in baseball?
Oh, I'll be advancing to the Final Four.
Oh, you're in the Final Four.
Unlike yourself. That's okay, though.
It was close, though. I'm going to give you the most competition you had. You got an easy cakewalk this week.
What are you talking about?
He's only got to play the best team in the league ever assembled. The best team ever assembled he's got to go up against.
Listen, it's ridiculous. You want to hear his lineup? Here, we'll end the show with me giving you his lineup, and we'll see if this sounds – you want to talk about murders. Oh, here's the team I'm playing. You ready for this?
All right.
You ready? At catcher, JT Realmuto. At first base, Freddie Freeman. Second base, Jose Altuve. Third base, Manny Machado. Playing short, Trevor Story. In the outfield, Mookie Betts. Juan Soto. And, of course, some scrub named Mike Trout. His utility player is Eduardo Escobar from Arizona. On the hill.
Utility player?
Yeah, on the hill, he's got Clayton Kershaw, Garrett Cole, and then he's got some younger guys on the mound that have pitched pretty well. But as closers, he has Archie Bradley, Ian Kennedy, Roberto Osuna, Kenley Jansen, and Hansel Robles.
You're facing this guy?
Yeah.
No way. You have no shot.
Yeah, I don't have any shot. But he hasn't lost all year.
He hasn't.
Well, if he loses all year, man, he needs to get out of there.
Yep. So.
What the heck?
Here was my team.
No, I don't want to hear it.
It was terrible.
All right, I just thought that you'd get a kick out of that. That's enough. I think Dunked is the one that used to say this. That's enough pee-pee talk. Is he the one that used to say that? Maybe it's enough pee-pee talk for today. No, it wasn't him. It was somebody else. Anyway, yes, our thoughts go out to the Duncan family and to all Cardinal Nation, especially the people that Chris had all the things that went on behind the scenes. Make no mistake about it, there's probably families that you've never met or heard of that are hurting today because he probably made a difference in somebody's life, and it's always sad. So thoughts and prayers out to those people, to all of our Cardinal Nation. Let's win one for Dunk. How about that? I mean, I think that's also always a great thing. It's nice to see the city rally around things like that, and hopefully they can do that. And that would be an awesome tribute to a good man and a good family for sure. I want to thank my partner in crime, Benji Molina, for joining us, as always, on the M4byYachty.com, Yachty.com hotline. Of course, Steve-O for giving us 2 minutes of his time, totally undeserved to get 2 minutes of Steve-O's time. Appreciate that as well.
I might have just touched somebody else's life like Duncan did.
Yeah, no, you didn't. Not in an appropriate way, for sure.
You're doing it with the stake, buddy.
Yeah, with a stake. Yeah, that's for sure. Don't forget to check us out, twobirdsonabat.com. Subscribe to the show. Click Two Birds Bloggers. Enjoy their stuff as well. Find us on social media, at Birds on a Bat Show on Twitter, Two Birds on a Bat on Facebook, and, of course, Two Birds on a Bat Show on Instagram. Thank you to lineupmedia.fm, home of Yo Radio, the streaming platform for your mobile device. To all of our partners, of course, Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com, thank you for your continued support. Don't forget Patio's, the original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere, both pre- and post-game. To our friend, Dr. Kristen Jacobs, check her out, drkristenjacobs.com. GatorsBaseballAcademy.com, Missouri Gators, now located in Illinois as well. And, of course, to the best barbecue in St. Louis, what's going on, Mike? Hope to see you soon. Located on Watson Road, St. Louis, here's your cue. For all of us here at Two Birds on a Bat, let's go Birds!
Go Birds!
Go Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.